Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about a new round of price increases on Tesla vehicles. We've also got a couple of reports on demand, news on FSD beta, an update from Giga Texas, some news on Elon Musk, a couple of other items, and of course we'll talk about inflation here in a second. So, Tesla on the day today down 2.4% to $838.30, the Nasdaq down about 1%. Both trading in the red all day after the inflation report came out this morning, though a little bit of recovery this afternoon. We'll start out with inflation. So as we had talked about, the consumer price index report did come out this morning before market open. These are the numbers for February, during which the CPI increased 0.8% from levels in January and 7.9% year over year. That was quite a bit higher than the trading economics consensus that we had talked about yesterday, but that must have just been out of date because Bloomberg today said that that matched the projections that they compiled from a survey of economists. Still, it is a big number, so if we look at the month-over-month change, that 0.8% increase from January, that is the third highest month-over-month increase in the last year. We've obviously known that year-over-year inflation is going to continue to be up until we start comping off those higher CPI numbers from last year. So the month-over-month number is more what I'm curious about at this point, and that is not showing any signs of inflation slowing down yet. Looking at the year-over-year number, we can clearly see that this is the biggest percent increase in the CPI year-over-year in the last year. But not only that, it's the biggest increase in the last 40 years. As we have talked about, the CPI really started increasing significantly last year in April, a little bit in March. That'll make it more difficult for the year-over-year numbers to be as high as we have been seeing. But if the month-over-month numbers continue at this, 0.8% rate, then we'd actually end up seeing these higher year-over-year rates persist even with those lower bases. So hopefully as interest rates increase, that'll help temper inflation, but who knows with everything going on with the global supply chain. Anyway, last point on inflation, just kind of looking at the itemized breakdown. Obviously, as we have been seeing, the biggest increases are in energy and vehicles, but still significant inflation in other categories as well. All right, moving on from the consumer price index to Tesla prices. Tesla last night did increase prices in the United States and in China. In the United States, they've raised the price of the Model 3 long range by $1,000 and the Model Y long range and performance both by $1,000 each. Similar changes in China, but for the Model 3, swap out the long range for the performance, and they have increased those by 10,000 RMB, or about 1,600 US dollars. So from a consumer perspective, you're never really too happy to see price increases, but from an investor perspective, I think this is the right move and likely overdue. I mean, we just talked about how inflation has been. As we have talked about, Tesla's supply contracts will shield them from some of that for some period of time. And probably even more importantly, Tesla is on a declining cost curve as they significantly ramp up production. Because of that, and because of how we saw Tesla's gross margin play out over the course of 2021, I do believe this is likely more of a response to demand than to rising costs, but obviously both would be significant considerations. The other really interesting piece of this is that as we have seen Tesla start to do over the last 6 months or so, they seem to continue to be prioritizing higher trim vehicles with lower delivery wait time estimates. Eventually, that's going to lead to a substantial mix benefit, and we may see some of that impact in Q1, but probably a little bit more so in Q2 based on when Tesla started doing that. And now, with this update, what it seems like Tesla is going to start doing is prioritizing vehicles that order FSD for earlier delivery. I'm not entirely sure why Tesla didn't start doing that earlier, and maybe they actually have, but at least in terms of how it was being communicated in the design studio. Previously, that wasn't changing the indicated delivery date like changing paint color or interior would have done. So again, here, these changes will also take some time to work their way into Tesla's actual deliveries, and you can call me biased all you want, but I think these are pretty bullish changes. You gotta remember that Tesla was probably originally planning on lowering prices during this period of time as they continue to ramp up production so significantly worldwide. I mean, there's still no Model Y standard range in the North American design studio. And that certainly is not due to cost increases because, well, there's a standard range Model 3. Oh, and by the way, Tesla didn't actually increase the prices on that vehicle. Those are pretty strong indicators that it is more demand related. On that demand front, we do have a report from Electrek today that I can also add to. Electrek is reporting that, quote, sources familiar with the matter told Electrek that Tesla is seeing surges in orders in several parts of the US this week. A source familiar with Tesla's order rate said that the automaker saw it increase 100% this week compared to last in parts of the country particularly affected by gas prices, end quote. All right, so that is a report on very limited data. I mean, it's not even the entire country. It's just a couple of weeks, but hard to take that as anything other than pretty good news if it is accurate. And if we're talking about regions particularly affected by gas prices, well, if that does include California, which obviously has the highest gas prices, I'm not sure about change in gas prices over the last couple of weeks or so, but if that does include California, obviously that's going to be a really big region for Tesla. Now, what I can add to this is a little bit of corroboration. What I've been told is that the orders over the last 3 days for one region in the United States were more than double the weekly average. And again, that's just in 3 days. Now, if that persisted, you'd be talking in the ballpark of more than four times the weekly average. Google Trends also suggests an annual high in terms of search interest for electric vehicles, both in the United States and worldwide. Not necessarily the case for Tesla search interest, but I think that fluctuates a little bit more based on what's happening from a media coverage perspective. Anyway, why does that matter if we already know that Tesla's delivery wait times are quite long? Obviously, there's a backlog. Well, it matters because of the prioritization that we had talked about before. The more excess demand Tesla has, the more they can prioritize those higher trim vehicles. That is very beneficial for gross margin, and that benefit will be appreciated as Tesla ramps up Giga Berlin and Giga Texas. All right, next up, we've got a quick update on FSD beta. Elon had previously said that 10.12 was likely to come to the US on Tuesday. We've passed that, and then maybe Friday for Canada. Elon now with a new timeline for 10.12 in general, not sure on Canada, but saying that it will be coming this weekend. Next then, it's been a few days since we've checked in on the progress at Giga Texas, and Model Ys continue to stack up there. So Jeff Roberts' newest drone flyover video shows that the number of completed Model Ys now sitting in the lot there is slightly above 400. As we have talked about, Tesla already has produced enough 4680 batteries for somewhere between about 1,000 to 2,000 Model Ys, so hopefully we'll continue to see the stockpile grow. All right, next up, we are talking about a Vanity Fair article. Generally not a go-to source for us, but we've got some big news here on Elon. Vanity Fair was doing an interview with Grimes, and they, through the course of the interview, heard two babies crying. And it turns out, in addition to baby X, Grimes and Elon had a second child together as well, this time via surrogate, a daughter who they are calling Y. So this did happen a while ago, but just now being disclosed. So congratulations to Elon and Grimes for that. All right, next up, we've got an update on Waymo. They do these things where they invite the public to participate in what they call challenges. They have announced that one of the challenges for this year is to produce a set of 3D boxes for all the visible objects in the scene using cameras only. So a little bit of interpretation of that on social media that Waymo is intending to shift to vision only. That would not be the takeaway that I would have from this challenge alone. I mean, they've got a challenge right next to it that involves LiDAR. All right, last thing for today then, Rivian After Hours did report their Q4 earnings. I haven't had a chance to listen to the call, but we'll take a look at the highlights from the shareholder letter. We'll talk about the financials in a second, some really interesting stuff there, but first, just a couple of updates on their reservation count. They did note that that has increased to about 80,000 net reservations, or I guess net pre-orders as of March 8th, so that would be after the pricing adjustments. So those seem to have been decently well maintained. They also note that they produced about 1,000 vehicles last year, and then through March 8th, they had produced just over 2,400, so about 1,400 so far this year, or about 150 per week. I think that's a pretty decent ramp up, but they did actually lower their guidance for this year. Previously, they were targeting production of 40,000 vehicles. Now they say due to supply chain constraints, they're targeting 25,000 vehicles for this year. So in the last couple of weeks, we've seen Lucid and Rivian drop their forecast for this year by about 40% each. Now, as for their financials, they are losing a lot of money. So they lost $2.5 billion in Q4 from a net income perspective. And the most shocking part to me was their operating expenses. Their OPEX for Q4 was $2.1 billion. Tesla's operating expenses for Q4 were only $2.2 billion. Now, to be fair, Rivian does list a $663 million non-cash expense for the accounting for 8 million Class A shares. Then they do also have $277 million of stock-based compensation in addition to that, I believe. If you exclude both of those, you're looking at about $1.1 billion in operating expenses. So, okay, maybe that sounds a little bit better, but if you make similar adjustments to Tesla's numbers, you would be excluding the $558 million of stock-based compensation, and you would be excluding the $340 million payroll tax from Elon Musk's stock sale in Q4. That would put Tesla's comparable operating expenses at only $1.3 billion again versus Rivian at 1.1. That is insane. I mean, Rivian sold 1,000 vehicles, Tesla sold 300,000 vehicles. Rivian spent $726 million on research and development, nearly the same amount that Tesla spent. Tesla was $740 million. By the way, that number for Tesla, that was an all-time high. It's going to be very interesting to see how these financials evolve for Rivian. Those costs are insane right now. Even on the vehicles that they did sell, insane gross margins, they lost $350 plus million on revenues of $50 million. But even that makes more sense to me than these operating expenses. So we'll see. Maybe they address that in the call. Again, I haven't listened to it yet, so we'll probably revisit this at some point. But that operating expense seems insane to me, and it just shows how efficient Tesla is. All right, looking ahead to tomorrow, hopefully we get a quiet news day because I do plan to post an interview with former Tesla board member Steve Wesley. So keep an eye out for that, and then we'll get back to the news on Monday. That'll wrap it up for today, though. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, March 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.